We're like this. The next minute, we're something else. But God doesn't have a mood swing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for the grace and the goodness of the Lord tonight. Just the mighty way that God touches and ministers. We're looking forward to Friendsgiving this year and to touching lives. If you don't know what it's all about, let me just say it again. It's inviting our friends and family, our community, and introducing them to our church, but just give them an opportunity to come in fellowship. And we're going to have a great time together, and we're excited about it. Every year, God has blessed us tremendously with guests, first-time guests. And it's amazing through the years to watch different ones that have come and different walks of life that have came. And we've seen the Lord bless and minister. And I'm thankful today for the goodness of the Lord, the help of the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful today that after service, I went home. And this morning I was very weak. In fact, several times I thought I was going to pass out. But I'm so thankful I went home and I got in the recliner. And I zonked out, and I probably slept more in 30 minutes than I did all night last night. Of course, I had a grandbaby in my bed last night. But I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. If I can get some help to put this podium out, we're going to do something different tonight. But it's going to be something that's going to be, I feel, constructive tonight for the kingdom of the Lord. On Thursday nights, many of our church family is next door when we teach, and some teach Sunday school. And so some of those people on Sunday morning and Thursday night are away. And a lot of times pastor teaches on Thursday night. I teach on Thursday nights, and I'm on the floor teaching on this podium. And tonight there's just something that I felt in the Lord this weekend. I felt impressed of God, that God has something for the Sunday night congregation, that he wants to speak to us. And I want to obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. I just don't want to just get up here and give you something that sounds good. And we're going to do it just a little different tonight. I'm going to ask my wife to assist me. When we went to Colorado Springs, she helped me team teach there. And so tonight she's going to just share with us just a little bit she's not preaching. She's not a preacher. What she's going to do is she's going to assist me. We're going to talk together tonight. And this is going to be in a more relaxed way. And so if you have your Bibles, you don't have to stand. I just want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to read verses 36 through 39 tonight. And I want to say I do appreciate my bride. Thank God for her. Amen. Amen. So Matthew 24 is where we turn into the gospel according to Matthew. And verse 24, chapter 24, verse 36 through 39. We'll start at verse 36. But of that day and hour no man knoweth no man. No, not of the angels of heaven, but my Father only. 37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39 says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Last verse, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want you to notice something in this passage of Scripture, that the flood here and the judgment was universal. It was a universal doom. Neither the rich nor the poor escaped. The learned and the illiterate both drowned. The admired and those that you couldn't stand also drowned. The religious and the profane They were doomed. The old and the young all sank in one common ruin. On that day, there was universal judgment. You know, even those that had ridiculed Noah, we find that when they ridiculed him, I want to ask, where's their jest now? Where's their mocking now? As they were drowned in that terrible flood. Others that had threatened Noah for his zeal, they counted him as madness. Where were their boasting? Where did they end up now? And what about the critic who judged him as just an old man? Look what he's doing. A needless work. They sneered and they offered their judgment. What did he end? What did happen? Where were they at? What about those that really patronized Noah? That really admired the man's fidelity and conviction, but they didn't share in them. You know, there's a lot of people who admire you living for God, but they don't believe or share your conviction. And where do they end up? What about those that even were paid, maybe, by Noah to help construct the ark, but didn't get in the ark? All, the flood, the Bible says the flood swept them all away, and no single exception was made outside of the ark. You know, the Bible says, even so will it be the coming of the Son of Man. Young, old, different ones, good people, bad people. Hell's going to be full of good people. People don't realize that. They don't understand that hell will be full of all that did not get in the ark of God's safety, that did not repent of their sin, that did not get water baptized in the name of Jesus, did not receive the Holy Ghost and did not follow him in the way. There's no rank, no possession, no character or goodness shall cause a person to make it in that day if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and walking with him. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, we've got to be ready. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to talk about what that hour, the atmosphere, the hour of Noah's time. What was the atmosphere there? Of the time where the flood came. It says they were all just doing their thing. And the flood came. The judgment came. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we're going to talk about the general apathy. Where they're all eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And it was just a normal day. It was just another day to them. But they were not ready. Because they were not in the ark. There was not one wise man upon the earth outside of the ark. I want to tell you, I don't care how smart you are. If you're not wise unto salvation, you're a foolish person. Especially those that know God and know about the word of God. To be outside of that will be something that is definitely dangerous. You know what? The whole race of people, folly, duped them. And the most foolish of all follies was the instinct and notion that I could survive. I can make it. Or I've got time. And folly is doubting that most true God. And the most malignant of follies is thinking, it won't happen to me. But I want to be ready. How about you? We're going to talk about apathy tonight. This is Crosswhite. Apathy could be a silent danger, and it's got a subtle way of corroding one's passion, purpose, and conviction. With this topic tonight about apathy, I want to invite you to examine your heart and to consider how apathy affects spiritual lives, relationships, and a broader impact upon our world. Mrs. Crosswhite, any comment that you would like to make?
How many of you ever heard or you said, well, everybody's doing it. They said it was okay. I can remember my grandmother saying, they say is the biggest liar that I know.
That's right.
She would say, just because they are doing it, just because everybody else is unconcerned, or just because they're caught up in their own life and they're not focused on what eternity looks like tomorrow, doesn't mean my focus should be unconcerned. Brother Crosswhite, before service, said to me, do you know what the anthem song of hell is? The national anthem of hell. I forgot what you said.
Everybody's doing it.
So it's got to be okay. We're so unconcerned with what the Lord thinks. Everybody else is doing it. But what does he want from me? Noah, you have a job to do. But nobody else is concerned. Shem, you have to get over here and help me. Yeah, but my friends are. So I don't want to be out of focus. Because if you're out of focus, then you tend to be apathetic.
I want to explain what apathy really is. Apathy is not simply laziness, nor is it disinterest, but it's a deep indifference or lack of motivation that can affect one's heart, soul, and mind. It is emotion and spiritual numbness that keeps people disengaged from what really matters most. And it's a lack of care where you're no longer mindful. The feeling, it don't matter, or whatever, or I don't care. It's a numbness and a meaningless feeling that somebody begins to have.
We talked about it in music a whole lot. If we're not intentional, then the cares of life will put us in that place where we're apathetic to the things of the Lord. We're so busy that we don't make it our main thing. Who used to say that? Keep the main thing the main thing.
Yes.
But if we're not careful, we'll be so busied and unintentional that we'll become apathetic.
And that's the devil's job, is to rock us asleep, right? To cause us to feel numb or asleep while the Lord God is wanting us to be ready, wanting us to be mindful of him and to walk with him and to grow in our relationship. Hey, the whole result of our life is to please God, yes, to know him and
make him known.
We hear that all the time. Tonight, I just want to encourage you, amen, more than ever, to look at the result of your life. We will end up somewhere in eternity. I want to end up with Jesus Christ. How about you?
Amen.
Now, the consequences of apathy. We're going to just talk just a moment about the consequences. They're real. Look at your neighbor and say, this is real. Not a video game. Huh. Man, I could remember the first time playing Pac-Man as a kid, and there was a little gas station next to my grandmother's in Louisiana, and we used to go to Mr. Evans' gas station, and he had a few of those arcade games there, and we would beg for quarters, and or we would do something for some quarters, and we would go there, and I can remember watching my cousins play Pac-Man, and a Frogger. And do you remember when Pac-Man, whenever he got ate up, he went doo 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 doo. And I mean, it was over. And you only had so many tries and efforts to win. And there was a lot of quarters spent and lost. And old Pac-Man, whenever he died, guess what? You had another chance and another chance. Put some more quarters in. Get another chance. Life is not a video game. This is real. Amen. And over time, it seems apathy starts sneaking in through discouragement, distraction, or even a disappointment will come in your life that would cause apathy to start growing in you. Apathy, that feeling, I don't care, you know, or you feel distant, you're disengaged. And apathy becomes even from the busyness of life. The busyness of life can also cause it. Where people get caught up in routine and they lose sight of their deeper purpose. You could get so busy doing church work that the work of God is not in your life anymore. Or you could get so busy in life that God has become second or third. And there's people all the time tell me, well, you know, I got to do this. I miss church because, you know, and I want to tell you, there's not an excuse big enough, amen, for us to go to hell after what Jesus has done for us at Calvary. Apathy creeps in. One of the great dangers, says Crosswhite, is when the alarm doesn't go off anymore. When somebody does something that used to, there was a sense of danger, a sense of no. But whenever that alarm doesn't go off, there's that danger still where apathy comes in and you just don't feel the alarm feeling anymore. you don't feel what we call conviction anymore.
I was reading a story or listening to a story, and a lady was facing a situation, and she knew there was just something inside of her that kind of knew this wasn't what I really should be thinking and doing. But what she did was not tell anybody. She kind of kept it to herself, and she just kept doing that and kept doing that till pretty soon it was easier just to pursue this interest. And at the end, thank the Lord, and the story, it was just a story. But she realized that's what the enemy will do. He'll get you so caught up in something until pretty soon, you know it's not the thing to do, but, it really doesn't matter. It's not that big of a deal. And in the end, have you ever heard the illustration where if you aim for the moon and you get 1 degree off, how far you are when you really get there? One little step. It's the direction sometimes that you're going that will lead to that apathy, to that feeling of, and pretty soon you'll find yourself floating further and further away from where you need to be.
When there is a sense of no legitimacy of God anymore, there's some things that you thought will matter to God. And when you cross a line or the boundary and you start feeling no fear about it any longer, and you don't have no apprehension of doing wrong, and it becomes comfortable to you. The first time it was scary, but now it's become a common thing. You are headed to what we call apathy, and to where the numbness is there, the sting of the moment is not there. The alarm is no longer there. It's kind of like Isaac. Where you at, Isaac? All right. In the morning when Isaac's alarm clock goes off, I don't know how he sleeps. I mean, it goes on and 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 on. I don't know how the kid sleeps through the alarm clock. Any of you have the same problem? And when I went to college, I didn't know what a snooze was on an alarm clock.
Does now.
I know what it is now. But I can remember my parents telling me, just put that alarm clock away from your bed, out of reach. That way you could get up in the morning. You have to get up. I knew once I got up. We didn't have a snooze growing up. It was my mama said, get up, and it went no second time. Sounds like a mean lady. No, she was teaching us something. And I want you to say this today. I don't want to have a snooze where I and keep hitting that whenever God's convicting me,
right,
or God's saying no,
right,
or there's something in my conscience telling me you're violating the principles of God and you're being rebellious, and I keep hitting the snooze. After a while, it's not going to matter to me. I want to do what matters to God. How about you? So the lawless urges of the flesh many times are pacified without feeling wrong about them. You start pacifying the flesh. And after a while, it's okay. You got past that place. And the death of an individual spiritually, hear me, starts with apathy. Spiritual death. It's a silent killer.
Because sometimes you just think, well, you know, it didn't really hurt. It wasn't that bad. And then the next step leads to the next step, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter until you are spiritually numb and you find yourself in a place. Finish this sentence. Sin will take you farther because you get to that point where it didn't really matter. It's not a big deal. I mean, why does pastor say that? Because he's our shepherd on the wall. And I don't want to get to that point where it doesn't matter anymore.
Brother Zach's heard many times when we were in the jail, there's people that are there headed to prison whose life is now taken. They don't have, they can't raise their kids now. They can't be at home for the holidays. They don't have the freedom and liberties. And they'll make the statement, I never thought I would end up here. It started with something so small. And now evolve and snowball to a place that where here I am. And sin is the same way. Sin is a silent. This silent killer called apathy causes one to feel intrigued to cross a line and explore the forbidden. It is here the voice inside of you said, see, it didn't hurt you. See, you still. And you go back to church and you feel the presence of God and you think, see, you still can feel God, so it's got to be okay. Or it's like we talked about a while ago. You look around and said, you know, but everybody else is doing it. They're doing it, and they're still being blessed of God. Remember, the national anthem of hell is everybody's doing it. Amen. You could, it's kind of like you scoot out on a limb a little further and a little further each time. You're amazing yourself by saying, wow, I'm doing good. The limb ain't broke. And you think you're conquering. You're feeling good about it. This is the deceptive liberty that Satan offered Eve. See? God's holding and restricting something from you. God don't want you to have liberty and power. And when you can gamble on your values away for the sinful pleasures of sin, and without feeling doomed, you're stepping in a critical place spiritually.
I keep thinking in my mind, none of us are exempt, Pastor. None of us can ever say that it's not going to happen to me. I love the Lord. I'm on fire for the Lord. I have the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to mess up. But it's back to being intentional. It's back to loving the Master, because it's not about what I can't do. It's about what does he want me to do? What does he love? Does he love me to read the word? Does he want me to do? What does he want me to do? And if I love the Master, it's hard to feel indifferent when you love somebody. It's hard for me to look at Asher and say, no, because I love him. I want to give the kid stuff, you know? You have grandkids, you know what you want? You want to please them. You want to see them laugh. If you love the Master, it's harder to be indifferent. So if you find yourself skating on that road of apathy, let's go back to the gauge. How much do I love him? If I love him, I want to be intense. I want to be passionate about in his presence.
You know, there is an addictive sensational rush whenever somebody begins to feel the pleasures of sin. There is an addiction to sin. There's something. And it empowers something called self-justification. Mm-hmm. Think about it. The first thing a person says, I'm okay. And when somebody comes to you and they know Jesus more than a pastor comes to you, how things going? Oh, I'm okay. Or in defense, they say, I'm okay. In other words, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And yes, that all-conquering rationale in your mind keeps drawing you further into a sea of sinfulness, further and further from spiritual reality. If the devil could rock us asleep in apathy, he's got us. If he could get your conviction and your feeling and your sense of awareness of the things of God, he has just about conquered you. And what you used to value and hold and clutch to is now somewhere behind you and meaningless. Its value and importance is not so vital now. Think about it. You say to yourself to justify your conscience, I could always go back. I know my way back home. I got this. Let me enjoy this. All the while, you're dangerously drifting further and further into a sea away from God. It started by the lie of Satan. Oh, I won't hurt you. It won't hurt you at all. Just a little bit's going to be okay. God, the devil tells you, and you're is restricting you. Or the pastor, authority. You see, Eve, when she was tempted, this wouldn't happen. The enemy come, and he begin to let her think that authority was restricting her. Pastors being a dictator. The church mindset is controlling. Surely, this can't be wrong to do this. Look how good others are doing with it. Well, they do this. But at the same time, you're violating something that is causing you to get further and further into the sea away from reality of the things of God. Pretty soon, these lawless urges of the flesh become so great. They have a pull that is so great, you can't resist. And you cross over. You're involved. And to the place that consequences don't matter anymore.
Just takes a little bit of leaven to leaven the whole lump. The other night, we had a big old gallon of tea. And anybody tasted that tea that night? At a fellowship hall over here. Anybody ever notice any salt in the tea? Yeah. One simple grab of the wrong thing. Put it in the wrong place. Tainted the whole thing. It just takes a little bit because the enemy is not playing. He is not playing. He wants your soul forever. And if we go through this life thinking it's just here and now, then we become desensitized to the big picture, Brother Will. Though I fall, I shall arise. There is no plan B. I will fall, Brother Carson, but I will get up. If we're not intentional, heaven will not be our home. I refuse to be apathetic. There's a little thing on Pastor's thing. It says, there's troubling when research has shown that a 10-minute viewing, 10 minutes a viewing of pornography can form a lifetime addiction. It changes the brain, 10 minutes. It distorts and warps a person's perception of the opposite gender, but also of a human relationship in general. Satan is not playing. He will do whatever he can to cause you to distance yourself from God, from a holy, good God. Now, does that make any sense at all? Why would we walk away from the one true thing that never changes, that's faithful, that always has my best interest, that his will is good, he is perfect? Why would I walk away? Because we begin to be apathetic. We've allowed ourselves to be rocked to sleep.
I guarantee you, those of you that have viewed pornography in some kind of way or fashion, even with the Holy Ghost, you still have a battle. You still have a battle whenever all of a sudden you just see a hint of something that pulls at the flesh. I've had an elderly man one time, when I was a young man, said, he looked at me and he said, young man, he said, even though my body is old, I still battle it every day. And he said, I have to crucify the flesh, because years ago, he said, I did things and I looked at things I wasn't supposed to look at. I want to tell you today, amen, sin has a measure of addiction that wants to pull you to the place that you can no longer say no, that you can no longer resist. And sin wants to make you think that there is no power above that, that it's just a way of life, to where you feel comfortable doing it. But I want to tell you today, there is still power in the name of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be overcomers. Now, when you start delving out in this place of apathy, you start floating on the feel good. The things of God are meaningless now. Your commitment to God is a thing of the past. You start saying, well, I don't want to go to church because I don't want to be a hypocrite. And you justify, hey, I want to tell you, this is where the hypocrite needs to be at. We all have fallacies and imperfections. We need the word of God. We need shaping and molding. And by all standards of legitimacy, Peter was a hypocrite. But the mercies of God came to his life and touched him. But this is the pattern of spiritual death. It is here where godly values erode and pretty soon are gone with apathy. One becomes conscienceless of God. You're not even aware of God. You're not even aware of eternal things. Boom. You just live your life. There's no conviction. There's no desires. There's no care any longer.
But if I had hope only in this world below, I'd be of all men most miserable. Because that we all face that time where we're just too tired to pick up the next step and go. But you always have a choice. Can you finish it? You always have a choice if you have
courage.
God gave us a way of escape, Pastor. We're going to face it. They're going to have hard times, Abby. That's real life. There's going to be days when it's not so easy. But I have a choice. Am I going to get sucked into that, or am I going to shake myself and go, not today, Satan. Not today, Brother CJ. Though I fall, I shall arise. I refuse to go to the pattern of spiritual death that Pastor's warning us about.
And God loves a conqueror. God loves somebody that first admits they got a problem. That says, God, I got a problem. And they admit I got a problem. And they submit and say, God, I need to surrender to you. And then they commit to God. And when you commit to God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a commitment. Living for God costs you a cross. You got to deny yourself, take up the cross, and do what? A commitment. Who has their Bible tonight? I would like you to turn to Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 3. And I need a reader tonight, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. But I want you to turn there because of the importance of it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Now here's some pages turning. And just a moment, we'll have a reader. Would you like to read? No. Okay. Sister Brenda, would you read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Choice.
I mean, how can you neglect as a choice? How can you escape if you neglect following Jesus? Intentions, right?
Intentions, and I can't blame it on somebody else. I can't say, well, if they had not said, or if they had not done, or if they had went, I would have. If I neglect, then I'm going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say one of two things. He's not going to say, Brother Zach, you're not going to make it because Sister Mahala was such a bad wife. It's going to be you. You know, he's not. And she's not a bad wife, but I'm saying you're going to stand before the Lord for yourself. I will choose to go to heaven or not.
Nobody will accidentally get to heaven. Nobody will accidentally get there. It's because you gave yourself away to the Almighty God. Galatians, the 4th chapter, verse 8 through 9 is the next scripture I want you to find in your Bible. Paul was writing to the Galatians, and Galatians were Jewish people that what was happening was God was filling people that were non-Jewish. And Jewish people were very, very prejudiced. And Paul was writing to the Galatian church. Some of them God had filled with the Holy Ghost. And some of them started drifting back into the old form of Jewish worship called Judaism. Some of them even thought, well, you still got to offer a sacrifice, even after we received the Holy Ghost. And Paul had to correct them. But this is what he said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9. Do I have a reader? Somebody can read it. Okay, Brother Brent. Paul's saying, you know, you've known God. You know the freedom, the liberty, the Holy Ghost. God unshackled you. Why do you want to go back? It'd be like, you ever seen the picture of a man in a wine bottle, trapped in a wine bottle? That was an old picture that really, man, it was on a billboard the first time I seen it. A big, clear wine bottle. Inside of it was a man just looking out. And it stuck in my mind as a young person. I thought, wow, he's trapped in a bottle. After God has got you out of that alcoholism and set you free, why in the world do you want to crawl back in the bottle? The same thing with sin. After God has set you free, why go back to the weak and beggarly elements? I mean, and I know people that were very much musically inclined that listened to different types of music, and they tell me, that one of the greatest pulls is when they're sitting in a restaurant and hearing an old song. Pretty soon they start singing it and they want to go listen to it again. It's very addictive. But when you got the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you, you got to keep that power kindled, your relationship and love for God, and you got to resist the devil. The Bible says resist the devil, and what? The way to resist the devil is not just to rebuke him, but crucify the flesh. Neither give place to the devil. And that's the way you do it. And Paul was telling the Galatians, after all God did for you, why go back to sin slavery? True liberty is in Jesus Christ. And I thank for today for the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 2 Thessalonians now 2, verses 10 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Will you find that scripture for me? 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 10, 11, and 12. Do I have a reader? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brother Colton?
Part that stuck out to me in this scripture, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. It might feel like a good thing, but Satan will never have your good in mind when he brings a plan into your life. It'll never be for your good. The deceivableness of unrighteousness. And unrighteousness is unrighteousness. For me, it may mean, and I don't think it's a sin to play golf. But some people have to make that decision because it's consumed them, right? I don't think it's a sin to hunt deer. But if all I am consumed with is something besides Christ, then it separates me and it's not right. And if it's not right, it becomes unrighteousness. It deceives me into thinking that I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with this. And there probably is. It's not a sin, but it has become a weight. And it's going to separate me from the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord is for you. It's good living for the Lord. It's good living for the Lord, Brother John. It's good. Why would I want to be separated from that? The deceivableness of unrighteousness is not for our good. Is that he wants us to fail. The enemy does.
It says a strong delusion is sent. Strong delusion is sent, and they believe a lie, and they're damned. Strong delusion. Strong delusion. What is a strong delusion? It's self-deception, right? You believe it's so strong that you're deceived, that you think it's all right now. And I can remember God convicting people of different things. And a conviction, let me just explain what a conviction is. When the Lord begins to deal with you about something in your life, and you got to get rid of it. A conviction, once God convicts you of something, is never irrevocable. You don't go back and say, well, I used to be convicted. No. A conviction is a heaven or a hell deal for you. I'm talking a personal conviction. And a preference is this. I just don't prefer it because it could become a stumbling block. There's a difference between a preference and a conviction. A preference is, I'm not going to play golf because it's really, just really alluring for me. I get so involved in it. It makes me mad when I don't, do right or, whatever. And you've learned to say, because of that, I'm not going to do it. It's a preference. Then a standard is this, is where the word of God definitely makes a boundary, a law that says if you cross this line, it's wrong. And a principle is this, if the Bible begins to teach about something, even if the Bible's not specific, we know the Bible tells us not to commit fornication or adultery. But Jesus, he drove a greater spike in the ground and said, but if a man looks upon a woman to lust, he's committed adultery in his heart. So what we do, we draw lines and boundaries to say, hey, we're not going to do this. We're going to be cautious. And we draw those lines, even as a pastor sometimes has to draw lines. It relates to location. It relates to certain people. And I made a statement the other day that my mother, where she grew up at, our Pastor Majors, those Cajun people there, they grew up, many of them, God delivered them from gambling. And they would play a game called bure. That bure, they would roll dice. And many of people in my mother's church in Louisiana, God filled with the Holy Ghost, that were all gamblers. And they had a very addictive background. So the pastor said, we're not going to play dice at all. You know the reason why? Those dice kind of brought something back in these people's mind when it got in their hands. Pretty soon, it was more than a game. They're ready to go back to the gambling stage of their life. So the Pastor Major said, no more dice. Well, my pastor never taught against them. We played Monopoly, and we had a family camp on the bayou, and one day we was playing Monopoly, and my aunt and uncle came, and my uncle, he seen us playing dice, and he said, no, 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 no. He grabbed the dice and threw it in the bayou. For me, he was being judgmental. No, it was something that in his past that was a stumbling block, and he didn't want that around him. And I should have been mindful because I was, you know, us boys was playing with something that was a stumbling block to him. He wasn't being judgmental. He was just trying to get rid of something that was a stumbling block to him. You got to realize this. Paul said, if meat offends my brother, I'm not going to eat meat. If my brother's convicted of something and I know it, I'm not going to do that around him. I'm going to be mindful. Now, strong delusion gets to the place where it don't matter anymore. You can do what you want. You know, it don't matter. Or you begin to rely upon what you think everybody else is doing it, so it gives you legitimacy to cross the boundary for yourself. I want you to look at apathy. You lose joy. You lose vibrance. There's no gain from church any longer. After a while, you go to church and it's just old. I mean, you feel like a cold tater. I mean, just nothing there. Your worship is shallow. You don't even worship. Everything is grayscale, or the color elements are now dull. That used to be important to you. No investment. You don't invest yourself when you worship. You come to church and you just do it. You're just there. You're just occupying a seat. You're not really putting your heart in it. You separate yourself from the main line. I want to tell you, everybody ought to be a front rower in the kingdom of God. You may sit in the back or in the middle or somewhere you may sit, but you need to be on the front row with Jesus Christ. There's some thoughts that I wrote down. Says Crossway, you want a comment right here before we go into these thoughts? Okay, this is a thought that I wrote down. This is what people say. The world treats you better than the church because the church frowns on sin. And the world cheers you on because your sin validates their life. I'm going to say it again. People start saying, you know, the world treats me better than the church. Because the church frowns on sin, that's the reason why. And the world cheers you on in your sinfulness because it validates their lifestyle. The next thought I wrote down, a great fault in modern Christianity is giving folly dignity and dignity folly. Christianity should not be proud to be dumbed down or dressed down. We ought to be growing.
Right.
Our relationship in God, our inner conviction, shouldn't be dumbing down. Yeah. It should be advancing and upgrading. Right. Our lifestyle with God shouldn't be coming less. Our standard of dress should not be coming less. Right. You should be growing in God. Mm-hmm. Many think that they're magically pure and holy because they're saved or filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, to them it don't matter if the world, you know, in its worldliness and being a friend of the world, social. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But I want you to say carnality means you're unholy. Our carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, Jonathan Edwards was a famous preacher years ago, and he said this, resolution one, I will live for God. Resolution two, if no one else does, I'm still going to live for God. I think we need to adopt that resolution. If nobody else bows, I'm still going to live for God. Many people would cheerfully give God 1,000 things of their own choice rather than give up a few things that God really wants from you. Next thing, it was in the twinkling of an eye. Sin made Eve mortal. And it'll be in the twinkling of an eye that Jesus will raise saints immortal when he returns. I want to be forever with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In that city where the Lamb is a light. Apathy. Closing statement.
I would not be driving at 2 in the morning, going on a long trip, and turning on my radio to Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Because by the time I got to verse 2, I would be like weaving everywhere. So when I fight this race, I'm going to fight smart. If there are things that are going to cause me to distance myself from a holy God, not me. I choose what I do. I choose where I go. And I choose who I follow. I fight smart.
Apathy, the silent killer of the spiritual man. I want to live for Jesus. How about you? Would you stand and lift your hands to Jesus tonight? And I want you to ask God to give you that victory inside of your life, that you could live for Him and walk for Him. Come on. Amen. You know, the Lord spoke to me to teach and bring this out tonight. Amen. The Lord is mindful tonight of His people, that they would wake up and realize His grace and mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Help me today, God. Let my heart be awakened. Lord, let my spirit, my conscience, Lord, be for You. Help me not to be rocked to sleep, Lord, in this hour by apathy. God, let me grow. Let my senses grow for You, Lord. Help me to please You, to walk in Your spirit, to feel after You, to feel after some things, to seek You, Lord, to seek Your word. Let it be legitimate and meaningful. Let me be mindful of Your word, Your spirit, and Your mind. I give You praise in Jesus' name. In Revelation, a church that was lukewarm, He said, the lukewarm I will spew out of my mouth. He gave them a chance. He said, if you repent and get it all right, I will restore you. I want the Lord to restore some people here today. Amen. Apathy, that silent killer, has moved in like a cancer. But the Spirit of the Lord's here tonight. And God said, just turn back to Me. I'm a faithful God. Well, you got an opportunity tonight. The King of Kings is here to help you, to minister. You ever fallen asleep on your arm and you woke up and your arm was limp, and I've gotten out of bed and I tried to massage my hand. It was just dangling. I started working it. Tonight, the Lord wants your heart to be massaged out of that sleep, and He wants your attention and your affection to be restored. Amen. Sing, sister.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received You. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received You. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. God, more than words to a song, let it burn in my soul. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received You. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. God, burn in me, Jesus. Take me back. Burn in my soul. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received You. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Burn in me, Holy Ghost fire. Burn in me. yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Lord, burn in me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Lord, burn in me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today, Lord, I stand in need. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Lord, burn in me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Lord, burn in me. Burn in me. God, put a passion in my soul. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today, Lord, I stand in need. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Lord, burn in me. God, start a fire. Burn in me. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today, Lord, I am in need. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Jesus, burn in me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today, Lord, I stand in need. Holy Ghost, fire burn in me. Jesus, all I want to do is love you. All I want to do is worship you. All I want to do is stay here right at your feet.
Would you help us pray? Come on. Come on. God wants us to be victorious. He's not willing that any should perish or be a loser.
As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall down on me. Rekindle the flame within me, Lord, once again. All I want to do is love you. Do is worship you. All I want to do is stay here right at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall down on me. Rekindle the flame within me, Lord. Once again, all I want to do is love you, Lord. All I want to do is worship you. I want to stay here, stay at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall down on me. Rekindle the flame within me, Lord. Once again, all I want to do is love you, Jesus. All I want to do is worship you. All I want to do, I want to stay here at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall. Rekindle the flame within me, Lord. Once again, all I want to do is love you. All I want to do is worship you. All I want to do is stay here, stay at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall. Rekindle the flame within me, Lord. Once again, all I want to do is love you. All I want to do is worship. All I want to do is stay here right at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall. Rekindle, Lord, rekindle once again, all I want to do is love you, Jesus, all I want to do is worship, all I want to do is stay here right at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall. Rekindle the flame within me, Lord. Once again, all I want to do, all I want to do, Lord. All I want to do is stay here right at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall. Rekindle, Lord, once again. All I want to do is love you, Jesus. All I want to do is worship you. All I want to do is stay here right at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall down on me. Rekindle the flame within me, Lord. Once again, all I want to do is love you, Jesus. All I want to do is worship you. All I want to do is stay here, right at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall down on me. The flame within me, Lord. Once again, all I want to do is love you. All I want to do is worship you. All I want to do is stay here right at your feet. As I lift my hands to heaven, let your fire fall down on me. Flame within me, Lord, once again. Thank you.
you lift your hands. Come on, I want you to just worship the King with us right now. Amen. Give direction. Come on to your worship tonight. Lord, I praise you for who you are. Lord, I praise you for your righteousness. Oh, God, your holiness, your eternal power. Lord, you're right. Lord, you're right, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're my help. You're my strength.
Not be shaken, I will not be moved. I'm gonna stand in faith and watch what the Lord will do. I'm holding to the promise that God is in control. I will not be shaken, no, 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 no. I will not be shaken, I will not be moved. I'm gonna stand in faith and watch what the Lord will do. I'm holding to the promise. I will not be shaken, no, 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 no. I will not be shaken, I will not be moved. I'm gonna stand in faith and watch what the Lord will do. I'm holding to the promise that God is in control. I will not be shaken, no, 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 no. I will not be shaken, I will not be moved. I'm gonna stand in faith and watch what the Lord will do. I'm holding to the promise that God is in control. I will not be shaken, no, 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 no. I will not be shaken, I will not be moved. I'm gonna stand in faith and watch what the Lord will do. I'm holding to the promise that God is in control. I will not be shaken, no, 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 no.
One more time.
I will not be shaken, I will not be moved. I'm gonna stand in faith and watch what the Lord will do. I'm holding to the promise that God is in control. I will not be shaken, no, 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 no.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What a tremendous word tonight. Amen. Go here, leave charged and energized, having a made up mind that I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to give the enemy any ground, but I'm going to keep pressing forward. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for this wonderful day, this service, God. Lord, keep your hand of protection about us as we travel home. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to heaven how? Together. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Our little leadership team that knows about our meeting, please don't forget that Friendsgiving small meeting that we'll be having in the third building. We'll see you down there.
Part of what I was already studying about, there's a message I'm working on called the Lukewarm Danger Zone.
That sounds good.
It went right along with stepping on.